So you guys came today? Awesome. Last Sunday, it was like the first time in 7 years that I announced that it would be Stewardship Sunday, and it was like a test. So I just wanted to see like who would still come, even though I announced it was Stewardship Sunday. For those of you that are new, and this is a tradition I inherited when I came here in 2009, this church had one Sunday dedicated to financial stewardship. And as you know, a church is a nonprofit, and so it is 100% supported by you. So this whole mission, everything that you see here is supported by you so that we can do this ministry, proclaim the gospel to Roseburg and Douglas County and to the ends of the earth through foreign missions that we support as well. And so this is all for God's glory. And so, and as you saw from the scriptures, we read from like three passages that talk about financial stewardship. Well, the Bible is filled with it, probably for a good reason. Probably because it's a big part of our lives that can tend to occupy our hearts, tend to occupy our minds and our future. And so God has a lot to say to us about it. And so we unabashedly preach the whole counsel of God. So we preach all the topics in our church, all of the Bible in our church. We don't hide like parts of it because we don't want to offend people, you know, but we try to preach all the counsel of God because God wants us to know everything in our relationship to him that he's given to us. And so what I would start with is this great quotation that I came across on Facebook this past week. It's from Professor Jonathan Feng. He says this. He says, "What is truly amazing about the Christian faith is the idea that the God who made the universe from quarks to galaxies also cared enough about us to be born as a human, and to suffer and die, to bring forgiveness and new life to a broken people." So this is the good news of the gospel, that although our God is all-powerful and spoke everything that you see in creation into existence by his word out of nothing, he's so rich in mercy and grace that he decides to send his one and only son to bring you into a relationship with him, so that you would have hope in him, that you would have forgiveness in him, redemption and new life in him, and have him in your life as your driving force to his glory. Okay, and so this is the driving force then into the text for Romans chapter 15 through 24. 24 through 27, which we will read. In Romans, we're going through this book, this sermon series. This chapter 15, which we'll just fast forward to for this Sunday, has to do and has some teaching on financial stewardship. And so Paul's going to give us a little bit of background to the letter to the Romans and some of the situation that he is encountering in the Eastern Mediterranean area. So let's check it out. Romans 15, verses 24 through 27, he says this. He says to the church in Rome, "I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain." So he wants to plant a church in Spain. "And to be helped," he's talking about financial support, "on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a little while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints." What's he talking about there? What he's talking about is there was a great famine in Jerusalem, and the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering. Okay, so their structures are all plundered. Okay, that's all messed up. So the churches are saying, okay, our brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem are hurting, they're suffering, we are going to help them. And so he says, "I'm going there to bring them some aid." And then he says, "For Macedonia," and we're going to pick up on this church in Macedonia with a great parallel passage in 2 Corinthians 8. He says, "For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem." So he's already describing these other churches that have said, okay, they just went through this great famine, they're suffering and they're poor, and we are going to help them, we're going to bless them. And then he says, "For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles," that's referring to non-Jewish Christians, have come to share in their spiritual blessings. All of their spiritual blessings are from the Jewish heritage. Okay, so the gospel comes from the Jews. They ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. What's he saying here? What he's saying there, if you're spiritually blessed by the gospel, you will give to support the gospel. And so what he's saying to them is you've been blessed by these people and by their ministry and by their heritage. Now we're going to give to support them. And so if you've been blessed spiritually, you will give materially. And that's how God has set up the kingdom to work out. And so I would say this to you, and this is a way that I've been challenged over the years, is this. Your giving says something about your relationship with the Lord. So for Paul, there's a correlation now with the spiritual and the material, with how much you've been blessed spiritually and how much you will then support sacrificially. And so today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of shoot broadly into your lives and into your hearts. And then my prayer and hope is that you'd be open to how the Spirit might move in your heart, might move in your hearts to challenge you, to perhaps take the next step in your walk with the Lord, take the next step in your spiritual maturity, in your life, in relationship to the one true and living God. Because I do believe that God has something for us today to challenge us and to open our hearts and to open our hands to him and his cause and his purpose in this world. Now, I know that, like, even now, some of you are like, well, in my life, there's a separation between God and my bank account, okay? So I don't know where this is going today, but see, here's the thing. I want you to know that God wants all of you. He wants all of you, heart, mind, spirit, everything. He wants all of your life to be dedicated to him for his glory. And what I would submit to you too now is you can't get mad at me today, because I'm just preaching the Bible, okay? You can't get mad at me, because what's my job? I just preach the Bible, and so that's what I will do. And what we're going to do is look into this situation that he is describing, because there's a church in Jerusalem that's suffering, and he says that there's a church in Macedonia that's really blessed them. Okay, what's he talking about there? Well, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 8, and see what he's talking about in this great parallel passage. He says this: "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction," okay, so they're not a rich church, they don't have a lot of money, but it says this: "Their abundance of joy," which comes from the gospel, "and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." This is a crazy church. Okay, I mean, have you ever been a part of like a capital campaign where they're like, "Hey, we beg you to, you know, ask us for money. Okay, we beg you to do this capital campaign." What? I haven't seen a church like this. Okay, they're begging to be a part of this. Why? Because they're like, "We've been so blessed by the gospel of Jesus, God's one and only Son. This is like the least way we can show how much God has loved us and how much joy he's put into our hearts. So we want to prove that our love is genuine in this moment." Okay, so the gospel, it has been poured out into their hearts. So you see the wording that there's an abundance of joy and an overflowing of the grace of God in their lives. Okay, and so here's something I want to share with you is, I think for some of you, and I'll speak to you that have been giving for many years, because some of you have been giving for 20 years, 30 years. It's just a part of your life. It can get kind of mundane, can't it? You know, you just get into your rhythm, and then there might come another need that comes by that's over and above what you do regularly. And you might say in your heart, well, I'm already meeting my obligation now. And so it can just become mundane. That's kind of how it is for me sometimes. I'll be honest with you. And lately, God revealed something to me. Is see, because I do automatic charges to the credit card. We can do that on our website. So I do automatic charge to the credit card. And basically, it can get a little mundane, you know? And I'm not saying not to commit anything. That's not the point of this. But it can get a little mundane. And so all I get is like an email receipt every month, and it says, this is what you contributed to St. Paul. And so it's like, okay. So my point is this. If you've been tithing for a while, and for those of you that are newer believers, a tithe is giving 10% to the cause of Jesus. If you've been tithing for a while, it can get a little mundane after a while. It's just something you do every month. Okay. It can even get kind of boring. Charge. Here's your receipt. Charge. Here's your receipt. Ah. Okay. So here's what happened. You guys remember Principal Kyle Crane came here? Were you guys here for that? Okay, so he came one time, and he told us about tuition assistance. He told us about this need, okay? And so what happened is this. There wasn't that big of a response to the tuition assistance. So you guys notice he came back. He came back. Okay, so he came back, and there wasn't as big of a response as what I'm used to or what he's used to. So I thought about it a little bit, and I said, I can't be mad because I didn't give. See, because I'm in my rhythm of my monthly giving, so I do my tithe, okay? And so here is what I'm going to submit to you is this. God's grace is so radical that my prayer is that we would be set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ to give freely and spontaneously to his cause, even if it's a little bit. Because, see, look how many people are in this room. If we all give a little bit, it can add up to be a lot. And so this is my commitment to you. And I say this in the spirit of 1 Peter chapter 5, that the pastor is to be an example to the flock. And to be an example to you, is I'm going to commit one big offering that's big for me in my household next Sunday to support tuition assistance. Okay, and my prayer and hope is that you would imitate me as I follow Jesus Christ and give whatever you are led by God to give, whether big or small. Okay, see, because here's what can happen. We can start to live under the law of tithing. Okay, but see, does the law change your heart? Did the law get you to heaven? Did the law save you? I'm not against tithing. Maybe some of you need to make that step in your relationship with God, and that's good, but it can become a law in your life, and it is an Old Testament principle, but see, it doesn't transform your heart. Here's the New Testament teaching that although Jesus is rich, the Son of God, he became poor on the cross so that you, by his poverty, would become rich. And so the New Testament teaching is that there is radical grace from God through Jesus. And we've been saved and blessed by it so that we can be radical in our response to spontaneously and radically sacrifice ourselves for his cause so as many people as possible would hear the gospel. I want to tell you this. I've been teaching chapel at this school for 7 years, and these children are filled with Jesus Christ. And they wouldn't otherwise, some of them, have known him. Because they don't all come from Christian families. but they are getting filled with the gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ in this place. And so my testimony to you is that this is a cause that is producing fruit, and I want you to consider it in your hearts. But here's the point of this part of the sermon, is this isn't just about tuition assistance. This is about our relationship with God. That God wants us to be radical because he was radical for us. That we would be set free by his gospel so that we would be consecrated to his cause in this world. Because, hey guys, listen, we're only here for a short time. Temporary assignment. Short time. The question is this. What kind of legacy do we want to live? What kind of legacy do we want to leave? What kind of love has been bestowed upon us in our hearts? That's my encouragement to you in all things, not just with tuition, but with whatever it is. God is challenging you in your next step of dedication to him, because he was dedicated to us so that we might be dedicated to him. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, Paul also says this to this church in Corinth. He says this, "I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others, the earnestness of the Macedonians, that your love also is genuine." So his point is this, I am describing their example because I want to test out your love. Okay, so if you've been loved by the Lord and there is love from the Lord in your heart, I'm going to test it now. I'm going to test what is there. I'm going to test what exists inside of you. And so we can take that to our hearts today as the word of God is shared. All right. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. It also says this. It says, "They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." Why does that need to happen? Because what would happen if they're just doing things because Paul wants them to do things? Or doing things because of Paul and what he's doing? That can go like this, right? Depending on how they feel about Paul, right? And so the point is not to draw attention to what I'm doing in that way and let that be your motivation, but rather, it says, "But they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." And so our dedication and worship and response is to the Lord in our lives, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, you do support the public ministry. You do support the ministry of the word, but it's out of worship of the Lord. So that raises a question about our hearts. Remember Romans 1, what was that about? It was about idolatry and what we worship. What did we learn in that? We learned that our hearts can be devoted to earthly things. And those earthly things that are good can master us. And they can rule over us because we're pouring ourselves out to them. And we can become enslaved to them. So what did we say? Good things can become God things, and then they become a bad thing. What did Jesus say in the Gospel of Matthew this morning? He said this, "You cannot serve both God and money." What he said is your heart will be conflicted. Be tugging. There'll be two different tugs going on. So what's the point then of this part? Is to examine our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this, that when we identify what our idols are, and then we are set free from them, we can then live for the glory of God by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is just a reminder to look back into that, because I know that several weeks ago you examined your hearts to see what it is that is competing with Jesus, what it is that is perhaps sometimes substitute for Jesus. And so my encouragement today is to identify what that is and to be set free from it to the glory of God and to the advancement of his kingdom. In Arvada, my supervisor, who was on my internship, Arvada is a suburb of Denver, and my supervisor was telling me this story about a man at his church, and he started off in his relationship to the Lord giving like $20 bills, okay? So that's how he started off, and for him, this was a big thing. It's a big deal, $20, okay? $20, and he would even come to the pastor and boast about it a little bit. He'd say, hey, I gave $20 today. And he would be boasting, and he'd be, you know, kind of bragging about it. But he was kind of in and out of the service, in and out of the ministry. Kind of in that season of his life, he was more getting, consuming, as opposed to giving and serving and participating. So, in other words, he was being served mostly rather than giving and serving and sacrificing of himself to the glory of God and the cause of Jesus. But what happened in his life? As he kept coming and hearing the good news that the God of heaven that created this whole world by speaking came to this earth in the person of Jesus to rescue him and redeem him and bring him into a relationship with himself, what happened is that his heart started to open up to God. His heart started to open up to the glory of God and the cause of Christ. And so he started to think this: the more I worship the Lord and dedicate myself to him, the more I see the vision. The vision is this, that the more our hearts open, the more the kingdom is open. The more our hearts expand, the more that the kingdom of God expands. And then he started to think, okay, this actually only turns out to be 2% of what I have. Then he started to give more, and his heart opened more, and then he could start to see, hey, this could fund a children's minister. This can fund a youth minister. This can fund some great things. This can fund a foreign missionary. This can fund a lot to the glory of God so that we could advance this gospel in this place. As he worshiped the Lord, he said, my heart grew. My heart expanded. And this is what I want to encourage you today is this. As you are set free by the gospel, God's going to do something great in your heart. As he pours out his joy and his Holy Spirit into your heart, there's going to be something overflowing from your heart. Okay, and so this is the point of the scriptures on this topic. God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. Okay, so I don't want something from you. I want you to experience this. I want something for you. See, because as the gospel gets rooted in deeply, we get to participate in something that is bigger than ourselves. We get to participate in something that is his global rescue mission and his kingdom expanding as more people are saved from their sins and redeemed from their past, and then they are worshiping him, and we will see them all in heaven. We'll be all together one day, and everything we poured our lives out to, we're going to see the culmination of it to his glory. All those missionaries we supported, all those people that we poured our lives out to, we get to go to heaven one day and say, this was the fruit of all those seeds that we planted throughout our lives to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of something that's just kind of like, I want to be a part of something that is radical to the glory and praise of God. Okay? So, a little caffeine this morning. A little caffeine. All right, so my encouragement is this. It's to be open in your hearts. God has another step for you. This isn't just about money. This is about your relationship with God. And how much you want to open up to him. And what the next step might be in your relationship with him. And the Holy Spirit will tell you. Okay. Next thing. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. What does he say? What's the point? The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What's he talking about there? This is like Bible language. We don't know what he's talking about. Here's what he's talking about is this. Do you guys have fear sometimes of giving more? I do sometimes. Like, hey, if I give more, then will I have enough for all my other stuff I need? Like, because there's retirement, right? There's investments. There's health costs. There's our stuff, right? There's those things that we need. But what's Jesus saying to us through the word of God today? He's saying this. Whoever sows sparingly and scatters a few seeds in his backyard, well, you will only see fruit from a couple of seeds in your backyard. But then he says this, whoever plants a lot of seeds, though, is going to reap a lot of fruit. What's the point that he's making? The point is this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And you've seen it in your life, so I want to remind you of it. And if you haven't seen it yet, I want to challenge you to go in this direction. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. What he's saying is, look, do you really think I'm not going to take care of you? Do you really think I'm not going to provide for you? His point is, when you give a lot, God's going to give you a lot more. And he's going to bless you a lot more. And that is the experience of the believer in the kingdom of God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3 says this. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. This is true. This is true. Do you guys think that God's just going to let you just, you know, one day you're going to be laying on like a sidewalk with your backpack and you're sleeping bag because you gave too much to the kingdom of God? Okay, so the point is God is going to bless you and to supply what he needs for us and to supply what he wants for us, so we don't have to fear this. We don't have to worry about this. When I was in Arvada, there was this man who received inheritance in two sums. Okay, so the first sum was $40,000. Okay, so he said, okay, this is a blessing, and he's tempted to spend it all on himself, of course. But he said, okay, I'm going to give $4,000 to foreign missions. So he gave $4,000 to foreign missions, two missionaries in two different countries. Okay, so then what happened? What happened is this. He shared a really interesting story. That year, on his tax return, he got $4,000 back. Some of you guys have experienced this. Okay, so he gave $4,000. God gave him $4,000 because there was like an error that was made or something. Okay, and then what was the next sum that came? So the first was $40,000. The next sum was double, $80,000. So then he said this, okay, God doubled it for me. I'm going to double it for him. And so then he gave $8,000 to the cause of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. This is the point, you guys, is this. He who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food will multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Okay, so then what happened? How was he enriched? Well, he would start to get emails from these missionaries. And they would say, this is the fruit of your giving. This is how you have been blessed. These are the people that you're going to see in heaven because of what you poured your life out to and what you dedicated your heart to. And so that's my encouragement to you, is this. The more that you participate in the kingdom, then you can see the fruit of the kingdom. The more you dedicate to Jesus, you're going to see Jesus working in people's lives. You're going to see people getting saved. You're going to see people growing and having their lives transformed and their sins forgiven. Now, I also want to give it a chance here too. And I do it every once in a while. Because if you are not regenerated yet, everything I said was like kind of like I said, eating broccoli, like for 30 minutes. Doesn't taste good. Okay, it gets old after a while. Here is the opportunity. Maybe you are not born again yet. Lutherans say born again too, just by the way. So listen, God sent his son into the world to redeem you from your sin, to forgive you of everything. You turn away from sin, you trust in him as your savior, and you become born again. And then the whole word of God becomes open to your hearts. I want to invite you today, because you know if it's happened or not. If your relationship with God is just, there's nothing there, then it's likely it hasn't happened. I want to invite you to turn away from sin. We call it repentance. And trust in Jesus, we call that faith. I invite you to that life today, this Sunday. Okay, let's go to the conclusion now. The conclusion is this. Some might say, well, this is stewardship of money. What about stewardship of other things? Romans is going to talk to us about the stewardship of our bodies, the stewardship of our mouths and our words, the stewardship of our relationships. It's going to teach and instruct our hearts in so many aspects of our lives. But the point I hope that you take away from this today is this, is that Jesus Christ was radical in his love towards you, radical, dedicated. And I pray that by the overflowing of that grace, we would be set free to spontaneously and radically live for his glory and his purpose and his fame in this world. Here's your application question for today. Will you be set free to give more freely and to live more radically for the cause of Jesus Christ? And I'll put it even this way. Will you be set free to give of yourself more freely and to live more radically for the cause of Jesus Christ? And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and guard your minds through faith in Jesus Christ.